And call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce.
Here.
Councilmember Christensen.
Here.
Councilmember Laraway.
Here.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is a consent agenda. Questions or comments or motions?
Anything, Chris? Good.
Negative.
Okay, then I would move we approve the consent agenda as published.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as published. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. All right, that takes us right to public hearings. Item A, consideration to approve case number 2003-ZC. Staff has requested that we table that till the date certain of March 15th.
I would so move we table. Oh, do I need to motion that? Yeah. I would move we table case number 20-03ZC until the March 15th meeting.
A second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. That takes us to case number 2107AN, annexation for Ledgestone South, tabled from 1-18-2022. Who do we have on there? Troy. Troy, you may have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, and the members of the council. For the record, Troy Behunin, senior planner, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA, Planning and Zoning Department for the city. The application before you tonight that was tabled previously is a request to annex a total of approximately 99.78 acres into the CUNA city limits using two different zones. Approximately 83.33 acres of that will be designated as R6 medium density residential, and approximately 16.45 of those acres will be designated as R8 medium density residential. The applicant has proposed a development agreement, and I'll get to that in just a moment. The application is for annexation only. There is no accompanying preliminary plat. The developer has requested this development agreement to accompany this request, which specifically addresses future development and lists specific performances for the developer and also for the city. It controls any development from taking place until at a future time when things are ready, and those are listed in the development agreement. It also controls how development may take place in the future, meaning that it will require applications for any future development proposals. The proposed development agreement has been reviewed and edited and commented on by the applicant, by city staff, and has also been reviewed by the legal counsel for the city. And that was included in your packets for your consideration tonight. This application was heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission in December of 2021, and the Commission has recommended approval of this application to the City Council. Following the application's review, staff has determined that the request is eligible to request annexation into the CUNA city limits, and it is in compliance with Idaho State Code and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. It does touch current city limits on the north and on the west side. And I will sit for any questions that the council might have at this time. I would also like to say that the applicant is here to present.
Okay. Questions for Troy?
Yes.
Yes.
In this package, down up underneath the sewage, it says this, the developer may be required to assist on the Danskin lift station. What does may be required mean?
Perhaps that clarification could come from the city engineer who's here tonight, but that will just, I mean, it means that they're going to have to participate in necessary items to make that a complete project. Perhaps the city engineer could.
So I'm just curious, if we approve this and later on they said, no, we're not going to do anything, we're stuck holding the horse.
Yeah, and if the council feels that we need to change some wording of the development agreement, then you have the power to do that.
After it's annexed in.
You can do that tonight for the development agreement, and as long as the applicant is amenable to any of the changes the council has, then it would become a an agreement between the two parties. It could be changed before it gets recorded. It could be a condition of approval.
And so from my understanding, the Danskin lift station is one that may or may not be involved depending on timing on this, so it may or may not apply. So if it comes in ahead of time, then they would have to participate. If it comes in afterward, they wouldn't necessarily participate in that, but no sewer connections can be had until there is the ability to serve that. So,
okay. Yeah, Danskin's,
so we're pretty well covered okay. on all.
Yeah, Danskin's only one you mentioned in your letters. Thank you.
Good. Further questions for Troy? Okay. Would the applicant like to? Yes, you may have the floor.
Touch the green button to red.
Oh.
It's backwards to most all others.
It is.
Red means go.
No, just kidding, Chief.
Good evening, council members. Also to staff and many guests that are in the audience today. My name is Jane Suggs. I'm with Gem State Planning, 9839 Cable Car Street in Boise. And I'm here representing Ledgestone South Subdivision. Troy did a pretty good job. That's a really brief overview, and it is brief because we're doing annexation only tonight. Let's see. Here we go. Ledgestone South vicinity map. You may remember that we actually brought this annexation along with a preliminary plat and design review to you in April of 2020. And after we got a positive staff report from the staff and a recommendation of approval from the PNZ, City Council actually denied the applications in October of 2020, and that was due to the sewer issues. We basically asked for a reconsideration and were denied. But that was just at the time the city was becoming very aware of the sewer issues that were plaguing the properties that are on the east side of Highway 69. That was issues with the Patagonia lift station, the Danskin lift station, and a force main that would carry that sewer to the treatment plant. So we were just becoming aware of that. We have been working with the Public Works Department for a while now, along with other developers, to make sure that we have a solution to that. And I believe you've been privy to some of those discussions as well. So you can see where we are adjacent to city limits to the north, to the west. And if you'll see down just to the southwest, that is the select development that was recently approved for a preliminary plat. Here are the annexation boundaries, a little map that was part of our legal descriptions. So we are requesting annexation and zoning only, and just as Troy said, this is just the first step in a development process, annexation and zoning. We will be coming back with a preliminary plat in the future when we know that there is sewer available or that we can participate in extraordinary fees that would help fund the sewer improvements. We actually have been working with Public Works for about 18 months back and forth. Our last meeting with the city engineer was on January 11th. You'll note that there is an updated memo in your staff report. It's dated January 25th, and in fact, the city engineer expresses his support for this annexation. And you're right, the staff report does include we may be requested. I believe Mayor Steer clarified that. It kind of depends on timing is everything. So some of this work may be completed. I believe that we'll probably be in the mix, and we will be participating in some of the extraordinary fees, hookup fees, that would pay back the developers who are actually building the force main. We understand and we agree with these conditions, and we also agree with all the other conditions in the staff report. And as I said, we will be presenting you with, we'll go through the whole process again for a preliminary plat. So we can't do anything, build anything, request any sewer until we come back to you through a whole process for a subdivision plat. Here you see is the property highlighted in blue and the comprehensive plan designations. Since we're just asking for annexation, the findings that you need to make for approval are pretty simple. We need to meet the requirements of the comprehensive plan, and we need to meet the zoning code for the medium density that was designated for the property. So R6 and R8 are both medium density zones that are supported by the comprehensive plan. Let's see. We do meet the plan, the future land use plan, and there are several other goals and policies that were outlined in your staff report that show how we meet the requirements for the comprehensive plan and the medium density. And I think right now I would just request that you approve our annexation and zoning since we meet the findings that are required for that, and request your approval. And I'll stand for some questions.
Okay. Questions for the applicant?
None at this time.
No, sir. Okay. And I didn't have anybody sign up to testify in this matter. Was there anybody who wishes to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. And this is for case number 2107AN. An annexation for Ledgestone South. And once again, I didn't have anybody sign in to testify. Was there anybody that wanted to? All right, very good. We can leave the public hearing open until we're done with questions, if you would like.
Yeah, Mayor, if I could.
Yeah.
Paul, I got a couple questions for you, if you'd be so kind. Trying to get my computer to work to pull up.
You're doing it too?
Yeah.
It's freezing out.
It's freaking out over here.
We can't follow the packet. All the computers are locking up. So,
it's Paul, just really me, slow for some reason. We'll click through.
Your updated memo in support of this annexation only talked about the fact that because of the work that's currently being done, and I'm paraphrasing, I apologize, so if I get it wrong, that we could support phase one when that time comes. And that was it, okay? I'm curious what led you to that. Is it the work that's currently being done that's going to allow the sewage capacity? Is what changed?
Okay, we.
Nope, needs to be read. Needs to be read, Paul.
Whatever this address is here.
Touch green.
I turned it off. Now I turn it back on. Great. Green is go, right? It's just, you guys got this back.
Red is go.
For several months, we've been working on getting a larger force main installed in 10-mile road. The force main will go from Danskin lift station to the treatment plant. We've added one pump to Danskin lift station, which helped quite a bit, and then this other improvement should add quite a bit of capacity. A lot of that capacity is already spoken for, some of which we are speaking for because we were already overcommitted in that line. So we are actually paying part of that part of it. So we think when the work is in process, we would be willing to say that they could go ahead with phase one of this project. But that's as far as I was willing to go out on them, and I don't think we should tell them they can go ahead until the project's actually in motion. So, because lots of different things can happen to stop the project. In the meantime, I don't know that you have much exposure allowing annexation, but that's you guys' decision.
Okay. No, that does help. Thank you, Paul.
And we're hoping that there will be additional capacity for several other people so that they can get their phase ones going while we hopefully can get our Mason Creek gravity trunk line going. So that's kind of the game plan.
Great, thank you. That does clarify, and that's all I have for you.
Any other questions, Mr. Lowery?
Nope.
Okay, I'll sit back down then. Oh, you want this green or you want this red?
I just leave it on red for now.
Red, we like red? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Okay.
Mr. Bruce, anything?
Anything further? We do still have the public hearing open for questions from whoever you would like.
Don't have any at this time.
I actually was curious about the hopefully. Hopefully we'll have it. You know, that kind of, are we going to have, I mean, the process is, it didn't have the sewer capacity before, now we have half of that. But for what he was saying, that's already spoken for, that capacity? Is that what he's saying?
So the way the process works, at the time they go to get a building permit, if there is sewer connections available, they can buy those. If not, then they're not available. So that's when the developers have to help to provide that fix, wherever that fix is. So obviously we can't sell them something we don't have. So, and that's Paul's job, is to continue to work on those and assess those things and make those things happen, which is what they're doing. Generally, the city doesn't pay for that. Developers do. So Paul doesn't have just free rein to make products like that work,
right?
Because he's not spending city money. So,
okay.
Our computers are thumbing through pages very slowly, so it's probably going to take us a little while to get through everything.
I already tried that, and it wouldn't even load. The website took almost 3 minutes to load on its own. So trying to download the packet from that probably is not.
Got to keep IT in business, right?
Yeah. Sewer and IT, that's what we work on in CUNA.
That's right.
Every meeting.
Have any more questions?
questions. I don't know if you guys do. Otherwise, we can just go to deliberation.
Yeah. I have no questions for now.
Yeah, I'm good. You're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, if there's no further of that, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
If I can start.
Yes, you may have the floor.
I've always been very consistent and keen on the serviceability of an annexation, whether or not it involves a pre-plat. And I still have to look at this one with a lot of hopefullys and a lot of, and including the updated support memo from Paul that still talked about, with everything done, we can support the first phase, the end. And when I look at an annexation of this size and I look at the serviceability, there's still way too many hopefullys and way too many assumptions in place that we can service a development like this. And I have to really just stick to that consistency on that side of things with this, looking at what we have in front of us. So, and I would love to open that up for further discussion, but really that's we're in the same boat we have been. So, and hearing a lot of hopefullys does make me really nervous to be able to support an annexation of this size and service it when the time comes.
Well, I somewhat echo that, but that's how a lot of developments get started, is they do one, and as lots sell and whatnot, and then they add to it. And granted, we've had a rougher time with the sewer issue on the east side of Meridian Road, as stated, but again, it is how a lot of them start, with just one phase, and as more comes available. I mean, there's been other developments that have happened the same way, that until EDUs were available, we had to just let them do one and later do another and later do another. And so it's kind of...
I kind of join in with you a little bit. What I'm concerned about is once we do the annexation, it becomes a bigger challenge if we don't have sewer connections. And I remember there was a subdivision north of Amity on Tinwell that couldn't support the sewer. We shot them down. We didn't let them annex in. So I don't know what the difference between this one and that one is. I'm open to hear it, but I don't. We have to be consistent. So I don't know where to go with that either. I kind of agree with Christensen. It's different. And I mean, we can't support the annexation. Why don't we annex?
And I also have to agree, you know, with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But to John's point, this is the level of annexation. To your point of how phases are built out, that is to the point, the large majority of the time, it's already been annexed into the city. And annexation is where I really have to focus on the serviceability of property like that. And so that's where I have to go with that.
I think we have to be cognizant of our ability, and right now we can't support it. I mean, I understand what you're talking about. You know, once wind comes in, it will grow to it. But if we keep adding the annexations and not being able to support, how far behind the curve do we become as a city in our infrastructure?
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, well, let's go ahead, let's get it annexed, and then we'll figure it out. And I can't, I personally, just my own feel, cannot support that. It starts at the annexation level in reviewing that. So
I think the only issue there, though, is that if developers are required to put in the infrastructure to carry that sewer they're probably not going to be willing to do that until they know that they have a project that that goes to. And so I think, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with that. I think we're in one of those positions, though, that people aren't going to invest in something if they're not pretty certain they're going to get their investment back. So
right.
I think that's the only variance to that.
Yes, okay, if I comment. Mark Bybee, city attorney, and I'm just looking at parts of the development agreement. And the we're talking a lot about sewer, and part of this development agreement actually has a wastewater treatment infrastructure project master plan component. That's the title for this section. That requires, when they actually come forward with a plat application, that it's going to have to include sewerage, and it has their like plan for sewerage, and it includes parts in here about them constructing the needed sewer systems to support their project. So that's part of what's going on here too, is that when it comes forward and they have that application, this development agreement puts conditions beyond just city code saying, look, you're going to need to do this too for this to go forward. And if they can't meet that, the project won't be able to move forward. It'd be a reason to deny the plat because they're not complying with the development agreement. If the issue, though, and I'm not sure if this is, you just don't want this additional land in the city, that doesn't address that. But if it's not just about having additional land, but we're worried that will there be sewer, where will it come from, I think the development agreement speaks to it.
Okay, thank you. Well, so then that's the only other level there is now, do you, you know, if you annex it in and you zone it what you want to zone it at, you need to see the product ahead of time, which is where the pre-plat comes in and which will come in later. So that's the only thing, is if you want to see what you're looking at before,
right,
before you annex it, or if you're comfortable with doing an annexation or a rezone on its own. It's been mentioned before that it's hard to make that decision without seeing what the product is.
What they want to do, right.
And there's a lot of faith we have to put into an annexation. That's why the annexation level is looked at so seriously from my perspective, in that you approve an annexation and you base it off a solid development agreement and that's the end of it. You do have that safe keep upon development. But many times have we seen something that has been annexed and then it's silent for an extended period of time. And then when the time comes, there's more to the potential negative impact it'll have on the city than just sewer or something else. But there's nothing you can do because at that point, it's already annexed. They're going to follow the development. And so that's where my fear comes into play with annexations on extremely large plats for something we know right now we can't service. But we have that fail-safe to say, you're going to help us support that. But we know what happens post-annexation in long-term developments is there's no stopping it. There's no looking at it. There's other negative issues it could have on the city, maybe not. But now we're only protected with potential sewage issues. But time come pre-plat, that size of land, there could be more than just sewage issues that we can't fight. And that's just me being fully honest. We've seen it too often, these real large developments.
Did you have something, Chris?
No, I'm just kind of listening. I mean, I agree with both what you said. If we've done it one way in the past, we should probably stick with that. But then I understand what the mayor's saying, that we use some of that development to get it to the next stage. But I would like to see what we're going to put in before we agree to do it. That's just me, personally. I mean, that's...
Talking about a plat?
Well, what with the sewer.
you know. What page was it, were you talking about? What page was it on?
What page overall of the packet?
195. It could take us a minute to get there. I'm locked up again.
It only locks up for a minute. So,
it's up here too, if that's helpful.
Councilmember Bruce, are you asking about the actual sewer project, or
also too, if we annex it in, say they decide not to do anything with it, if it changes hands, is the city responsible for bringing any of that water over to it afterwards?
No, they still can't. Still can't move forward unless they
anyone.
Right, and I think in the development agreement it usually says that that carries over to the if it changes ownership, isn't that?
That's correct? What I was looking for.
So, Mark Bybee, city attorney, a development agreement is recorded against the parcels that are annexed, so okay. It becomes a condition that runs with the land and will pass to new owners.
Question for you, legal. On 5242, it says include the applicant's agreement to construct the city-approved wastewater treatment facilities, main lines, including off-site sewer lines and lift stations that will service the project. Am I reading that right?
Yes. Did you have a question about it?
Well, it kind of goes into what we were talking about earlier about when I asked Troy about what is maybe required. I mean, here it says they have to.
Yes, and it's to actually, because they'll put together as part of this application basically a sewer master plan. This is what their sewer plan looks like for the development. This is how it'd be served. That's what this condition in the development agreement's requiring, and that they'd have to build it. And the city's obligation being at the end is to accept these facilities into the city sewer system once constructed, and those kind of and the maintenance obligation moving forward. But it's actually putting in here that you got to come forward with a plan with your plat showing how this will actually happen, because this is, and it's a concern for the city. It's something I think the staff's become well aware of, that this is a concern for the council, these kinds of things, and that's what's true.
Now, does that statement only include their property or the city streets to get it to where it needs to go?
Oh, meaning the sewer, the improvements under it'd be other improvements beyond the boundaries of their property. It'd actually be to get it there. And if they can't get it to there.
Okay. Troy, question for you. How far away is Danskin from this project?
The Danskin lift station is off of Columbia Road and 10 Mile. This is on the east side of Meridian Road, so it's about 2.5 miles.
But the hookup line would be...
Are you asking about Danskin, the lift station, or the...
The line itself, where it ends?
Well, the end of that line would be Patagonia, which is just north of the project.
Now, isn't there a Patagonia lift station?
Correct, but it does double dump into... The Patagonia lift station does dump into the Danskin lift station.
Okay, thank you.
And I think the question on Danskin lift station may or may not depends a lot on obviously where the wastewater treatment plant was built. It was related that we were going to put in the Mason Creek gravity line. So if the Mason Creek gravity line goes in, then the Danskin lift station doesn't become quite as predominant of a problem as. So if one project gets going before the other, it may not be necessary to add to that one.
Is the Mason Creek in play somewhat?
Paul's been working through negotiations on that, so getting rights away in place. Right. Right now it's like this.
So I guess, too, for what's different about the applicant brought up in October of 2020 when they brought this forward, they brought it as, we want to annex, here's our plot, we want to, you know, hook into Patagonia and start going. We said, it's full, can't do that. So the whole thing got denied. They're doing it the opposite way now, where they're saying, we want to annex so that we can get ready. We'll help pay for the infrastructure upgrade so we can go, which we still have to approve them to go. Even when we get EDUs available, we'll have to approve their plat. So it's kind of, it used to be all in one, and now it's, we're doing it in smaller phases too, which in my opinion would help control it too, because phase by phase we can say, we're full till we do these upgrades. They chip in more or do whatever per agreements and infrastructure needs, and then we build from there. Where before it was this all came forward as one big hoodinger, we want to build the whole thing right now, let's rock and roll, and we said can't do it. So
that, the follow-up question, you said the developer pitches in and pays for it. Do we know how much? I mean, I guess, am I looking at a 50-50 deal here, or is it, I don't, that's what I'm stuck with.
Well, like we were talked about before, they even have to go do the off-site stuff. So if other developers participate and in their property they put in so much of the line, then that reduces the amount that they have to pay. So we wouldn't be able, I mean, you could get an estimated cost on what it would be to get from point A to point B, but there's other factors involved in there. So the cost is up in the air and the timing is up in the air and all those things. So, and like to Councilmember McPherson's point, the first time it was denied, we were still up in the air on what we could even do to get sewer service to that area. Now we know what we need to do to get it to there. It just needs to be done. So before there was no plan, now there is a plan. Who's going to participate at what rate and how much depends on timing and the participation rate and how many other people are participating and all of that. So that's not decided on yet, but it has to happen. We know it has to happen. They can't hook up to sewer until it does happen. So.
And in the meantime, they can start digging dirt.
They can start, they can work on their pre-plat and get that in and start deciding what they're going to do and negotiate with Public Works and decide what needs to be done and at what rate they want to move forward and all those things.
I'm good.
Anything further?
I just have to go back to the points I was saying as you look at the furthering impact of an annexation like this. And it is a very step-by-step oriented process with sewer. And then you look at potential in the long term, the furthering impact that it may or may not. This level, it's a very, very minuscule agreement where go ahead and just annex it, and then we'll have to have the sewer built. Which, that's really, that would have really had to happen anyway. Because development just doesn't happen without the service. services, even in the pre-plat phase. And so I still have a hard time looking at this any different as an annexation than just square one at the beginning.
I guess in my eyes, it's the dangling carrot. We let them annex. Now they've got that invested. Obviously, they're going to pay to do the infrastructure updates they need to do to build houses there because they just threw a bunch of money out. I doubt they have it just lying around to do that with. They have an end game here they're heading towards. So if we let them annex, then they'll pay for the sewer update and they get their end product.
The only part that's comforting about this to me is that the project they're talking about is not that far away from existing sewer.
Correct.
If it was 2 or 3 miles further, I'd be talking a little bit different, but I get what the mayor's saying.
Anything further, Chris?
No, I've listened to it all. I guess for me, it's when, you know, you annex it and then you look at what they're going to do with the sewer. I would think you would look at that first, but maybe it's the cost to tell us what they're going to, the design of it or the plan. Is that what you're saying? That they don't want to spend that money to show us the plan until after it's annexed?
Well, it's the timing of it.
Like well, I said, Paul has a direction, and they know we've had firms look at it and tell us what we have to have in order for things to happen. So we know what needs to be in place for that, and there's a couple of different options. The Mason Creek drain would be ideal. That would resolve a lot of issues, but that one's quite a bit more complicated and quite a bit more costly. It would take several people to involve in that, but this is a fix that could get them up and running. We know what the plan is, we know what the fixes are, it's just which fix are we going to use for timing and getting the project up and running. So Paul's department knows all about that and what that is, and the developers work very closely with Paul's department. That's one of the places that they spend most of their time at trying to work through those issues.
I don't have any more questions.
Okay. Well, then if there's no more discussion, I would move we approve case number 21-07AN with the conditions listed in the packet.
I didn't hear you.
Move to approve 21-07AN with the conditions as presented in the packet.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? And we can have further discussion on the motion, too.
And sorry, Greg, if I tended to lead you down that path there, but you know, I do look at the bigger picture of an annexation like this and the size of an annexation like this. And yes, does it start the process of potentially improving what we're looking like in that area? It does, but does it fix it? No, it doesn't. And I still have to look at that. So in the bigger picture as well, with that involved with an annexation this size. If there's no further discussion, then I do move we deny case number 21-07.
So we have one motion on the floor. Do we have a second on the first motion?
Apologies.
If there is no second on the first motion, then that motion dies, and then you may make your motion.
Rush there. I move we deny case number 21-07-AN annexation.
I need more time. Trying to look at the overall bigger picture of this. I mean, as big of an issue it is, the sewage can't be the only thing holding this project up. I have faith in Paul. I have faith that the Mason line will go through, and
hate to stop us growing. I'm going to second Greg's motion for approval.
Okay, now we have a motion for denial on the floor now because the first motion died due to lack of second. So do we have a second on the motion to deny?
I'll second it.
All right. Okay, we have a motion and a second to deny the annexation for Ledgestone South, case number 2107. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Mayor, could I get clarification who voted for what? It wasn't clear on the mics.
I voted in favor of the motion.
Let's just go ahead and do it by roll, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Council member on the motion to deny, Council member Bruce.
Aye.
Council member Christensen.
Aye.
Council member Laraway.
Nay.
Council President McPherson.
Nay.
That puts us at a 2-2 tie, Mayor.
I will vote nay to deny. So that motion does not carry.
Then I can re-motion.
I believe you can make another motion now. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Then I would move we approve case number 21-07AN.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All right. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce.
Nay.
Councilmember Christensen.
Nay.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Yes.
Mayor Steer with a tie.
Yes. So the motion to approve case number 2107AN with the staff recommendations is approved. That takes us to item C, consideration to approve case number 2104-S, preliminary plat for Falcon Crest Golf Village Subdivision.
Good evening, Mayor and Council and staff. Hopefully this one will be a little more smooth. We do have a preliminary plat before you tonight. It is on a property that's annexed, zoned, and under a development agreement. Sorry for the record. I'm Travis Jeffers with M3 Companies. I'm located at 1673 Shoreline Drive in Boise, 83702. Is there a presentation that's getting pulled up? Am I supposed to do something else? It's fancy. Okay. Anyway, I'm here for the Golf Villages. It's our third preliminary plat for the Falcon Crest Master Plan Community. I'll give a brief land use summary. This part of the project's 86.9 acres. There's a total of 352 lots, 291 of which are going to be residential lots. The overall density is 3.38. Common area space is 13.29 acres at 15.4%. The lot ranges are anywhere from 4,000 to our smaller cluster product up to 16,000 golf course view lots. Oh. Just a little bit more background summary on this. This is a look at the overall master plan that's within the development agreement of the Falcon Crest community. There are three zones that are approved. We have an R6, R12, and a commercial corridor that is further south down here towards the corner of Huna Road and Cloverdale Road. This development agreement application came before the city in 2018, was approved in 2019. The yellow areas are showing the R12 designations. The brown areas are R6. The area clouded around in red is what's before you this evening. It's what we're calling the Gulf Villages. This is just an overall density map. Let's see if I can zoom out a little bit. Sorry. There we go. Overall density map. The area outlined in red is again the villages area before you tonight. So Gulf Village E and C. And it shows you how many units are projected in that area. One thing that I'll note that's unique about this development, since it's quite large and needs some flexibility, that in the development agreement we're allowed to stay within the density that's approved, but if we don't use some in one village, we can kind of make up for it in a different village. An example of that is the Robin Hood Gulf Village A. We're approved for, I think it's 120, what's Gulf Village A, sorry, 128 units. We're only doing about 108 in that village. So just as an example of that, that can move around as long as we're not moving up in units. Here's an updated look at the overall master plan for Falcon Crest. Again, the area in the villages is that G right here, which is all going to be single-family, high-end residential community lots that are surrounded by golf course holes that are existing now. This H area, which I'll get into more, is going to be a newer product that we're doing out in another community in Star on Boise River. It's our four-pack cluster product, which is a single-family detached product, but with shared driveway and four units, and I'll get a little bit more into that in a minute. Just as a quick update, this area is currently under construction, the Gulf Villages A area. We're constructing a new nine-hole course that surrounds this, which will be ready and up and hopefully playable this spring. This is the main entryway off of Cloverdale, which is called Tercel Lane. This is going to be the primary point of access into the villages area that comes up to this roundabout, comes around, and then goes down to here. Got a few more, just kind of more visual updates of what we're going to be doing out there. This is a look off of Cloverdale as you would turn east into Tercel Lane towards the villages area. We're actively grading and doing improvements on this right now. So weather pending, we'll be hopefully getting that paved and completed this spring and summertime. Another view down here of the main entry road into not only the villages area, but another access to the active adult community and to the golf club. This is that roundabout that is on the main entry that I was alluding to. This comes around here and then goes this way and then to the villages that is the preliminary plat here tonight. This goes to the active adult gated community, which is a huge portion of this project. And this goes to the Gulf Villages A, which is the actively under construction Robin Hood community. This is a look at the preliminary landscape plan for the Gulf Villages area. Like I said, there's over 15% of open space, and that's not including all of the golf that's surrounding it. There's a ton of green space and some unique topography in this project that make it really unique and really, really neat. This is that four-pack cluster product that I was talking about. This is really aimed at, you know, your empty nester, maybe that doesn't want to be in the specific age-restricted community, but is looking for less maintenance, the resort-type amenities that we're going to be providing. There will be a pool and playground park here. Here's a closer-up view of that master plan for the villages, so you can see the golf interaction. The new clubhouse site will be up here, along with a bunch of other amenities that are forthcoming. Just a real quick on the entrance. As you may have seen in the staff report and in ACHD's report, they're recommending we move forward with private roads off of this collector, which is Harrier Drive. This will be a public road, but once you get into here, it will be all private streets, which our development agreement does allow for, and we're fine with that condition. We do plan on having a gated access here, similar to what we have in our active adult community that's being built. So one other thing I wanted to point out, and I apologize, this staff condition is not the right number. It was in there from the P&Z hearing, and it was I didn't get the updated staff report for council until after this had to be submitted. So, but regardless, here is a look at the grading that we'll be working with Paul on, and when we submit our plans, it's quite a diverse property, you know, for CUNA. It's not just very flat. There's a lot of topography. One thing I wanted to point out was that condition that staff had, I think it's 10.26 now, about incorporating pathways, which we're definitely for doing that. There will be miles of pathways in this development. But it's calling for pathways along this yellow area, which is some of the steepest areas of this particular project. So we would just ask that if I think the 10.33 condition makes up for that and basically corresponds with what we said at P&Z, that we would continue working with the city on the challenges in the terrain and willingness to work to determine if pathways are safe and feasible to be constructed. I just threw these red emergency access points in here just to show that we do have three different points of emergency access, four if you count the two cul-de-sacs that will be constructed with this project. And one just final fun thing that we're working on redoing hole number 17, which is, as you can see, it's surrounding the new four-pack cluster product. This is currently a par four. We're changing it to a drivable par three course, which will make it a little bit safer for the homes that are abutting it. And it'll be a really neat update to the championship course. There may be some other modifications coming up, but we're still working through some of those. That's all I have presentation-wise. I mean, I do have a few just kind of housekeeping items that I was hoping to go through, a few conditions of approval that I just want to get clarified. And I'm not sure, is this the time to be doing that, or do you guys have any questions for me first? How about that?
Pretty good time.
Nailed it.
Do you got much more there?
No, I just had a few.
Go ahead and wrap up if you want.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to go through a couple of the staff conditions and just kind of clarify a few things. Let's see. On page 5 of the staff report, the condition 5.1.4, a finding in the traffic impact study that Kittleson did originally for this project. It's about the mitigation measure of restriping part of Meridian Road and CUNA Road. And as you know, this area is several miles away from Falcon Crest. But with that being said, it's not a condition of approval from ACHD. It's just a recommendation. We would ask that if required by ITD and ACHD, that the applicant will be willing to restripe the Meridian Road. But currently, there's a study going on for this area, and we'd like to work through what those mitigation measures would be to make to determine what, if anything, needs to happen here right now or in the near future. The next one would be 5.1-11. Golf cart crossing on Tercel is prohibited. I believe this might have just been an old condition, but we have approval from ACHD on the Tercel plans to do a golf cart crossing. We went and met with them in July of this past year in August, and we have updated stamped plans with a golf cart crossing that will connect the existing Freedom Hole 3 and Freedom Hole 4 where it is now. We'll be coloring and stamping the and brooming finish the concrete across and signing it. So it is approved. I just wanted to make sure that that condition be clarified. We would be fine to just say that the golf cart crossings on public streets must be approved by ACHD, which is the process we've been going through with them anyway on that. The last one is 5.1.12. This condition, I believe, is just a summary of the ACHD analysis of when we were proposing to do public streets, and they came back and said we want private. So that in this, it says we have to, by the 100th lot we plat, we have to extend and create a secondary access by improving Harrier Drive. Let's see if I can go back and get a better. So this is Harrier Drive. So it's saying that we need to go all the way down over here to 5 Mile and then all the way down to Cuna Road to create a secondary access. In the ACHD's findings in their staff report, their site's specific conditions of approval, I would propose that we word it the way that they did. And on page 19 of their report, D3, and it's a little bit more specific to what we're looking for in this. If there are, and it states, I quote, if there are more than 3,000 trips on Tercel Drive, which is the main entry, then construct secondary public street access to the site by constructing an off-site portion of Harrier Drive to the east and construct 5 Mile Road from Cuna Road to intersect Harrier Drive with 30 feet of pavement plus 3 feet of gravel shoulder. And then on page 14 of that same report, it shows an image of that route, and then it also shows an alternative. Or construct a secondary access onto Cuna Road with connection through a collector or local roadway system north to Harrier Drive, as conceptually shown on page 14. We have to do an updated traffic count on Tercel Drive at the 133rd lot that we plat, and with that study will tell us whether or not we have to get that secondary access at that point. So we can't go beyond 133 lots, and that's really the same condition that they have in their report. Hopefully that makes sense.
Okay.
That was it. It was a lot, but I hope.
What was the first one that you cited?
5.14.
Okay. Questions for the applicant?
Negative.
All right. Troy?
Thanks, guys.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'll take second fiddle. That's okay. For the record, Troy Behunin, senior planner, Cuna Planning and Zoning Department, 751 West 4th Street. So this application before you this evening is part of an overall larger project called the Falcon Crest Golf Resort style product. And anyway, the applicant is proposing to subdivide approximately 86.90 acres, which is currently zoned R6, which is medium density residential, and R12, which is high density residential, into 291 single-family home lots. They are also proposing 18 common driveway lots and 43 common lots. The site is located near the northeast corner of Cloverdale and Cuna Roads here in Cuna. It was annexed into the city in early 2019, as presented by Travis. The applicant originally had submitted a proposal for all public streets for this project. That was their intent. And through discussions with Mark Tate, they still plan on making them look like public streets and built to those standards. However, ACHD will not accept everything on the inside of the subdivision for South Cabot Cliff Way, as Travis indicated. And they are ACHD is more or less requiring that they be private streets because they do not follow the specific design standards of ACHD's policies. Staff does recommend that all these roads be built to City of Cuna and ACHD standards in the event that in the future, if there's a chance that they can be dedicated as public roads, that they'll be ready to go. Staff and emergency services do support these roads to be private, as the original Falcon Crest approvals did allow for them to request, for the developer to request private streets. However, there was one condition. They would be able to request private streets with emergency services and with city council approval. And if they received both of which, then they would be able to have the private streets. Following the application's review, staff has determined that the preliminary plat that's in front of you tonight is within the technical compliance of Cuna City Code, Idaho State Code, the Cuna Comprehensive Plan, and follows the outlined development agreement requirements that was approved by council back in 2019. And council is free to add the additional conditions that that the applicant has spoken about tonight with 5.14, 5.1.11, and 5.1.12. Staff would like to note also that those conditions that I just listed that he talked about, those are actually just from the ACHD staff report. They're not from City of Cuna staff report. And if you feel like you want to grant those requests, then staff would support them. And with that, I would sit for any questions that you might have.
I'm confused now that you talked about the roads don't meet ACHD standards, so they have to be private, but staff wants them to meet ACHD standards, but you also support them being private. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. So now that I have the chance to further explain, sorry. So the standard that it doesn't follow is that there is no outlet. ACHD balances a lot of what they do off of how many trips there are per day. Once you exceed a certain number of trips per day, and this is explained in their staff report, but I'll summarize. Once you reach a threshold and you surpass that, then you need to have an ACHD-approved secondary access. So if you look at this plan off of Tercel Lane, right there where the I is on the map on the TV screen, right where that I is, that's where Tercel Lane kind of snakes east to west. To the very left of that, you see the separated entry. That is South Cabot Cliff Way. At that point, once too many cars are going through that point, that diversion, ACHD requires a connection point to another public road. However, because this is a golf course community, there are natural features and other things that they have they don't have any control of neighboring properties either, but there's natural features that are in the way. And ACHD doesn't, their policies don't coincide with that. Their policies don't take into consideration some of the things that they have to design around, and therefore doesn't meet their policy. So when I say designed or built to City of CUNA standards, I'm talking about actual construction, width of right-of-way or perceived right-of-way, and also construction methods, depth of, you know, road base and appropriate compaction, thickness of the pavement itself, just the actual construction specifications. That's what staff recommends, that they do that in the event that in the future they could be considered public roads, that they would be ready to go. The right-of-way that would be dedicated will now become a common lot. So we recommend that that common lot match a potential future right-of-way. So those are the standards that we say that staff is recommending that they be conditioned to do. Now, Mark Tate did tell me that they plan on doing that anyway. They're not changing that. We just want to make sure and memorialize that so that it does take place. Because private roads can be narrower and built to a different standard. The trouble is, if you do a narrow street or a narrow private drive and you don't build it to the correct specifications, road base, thickness, compaction, all of those things, and then in the future, ACHD says, oh, hey, we would be willing to accept these roads, but now they're not built to their standards, they're not built to our standards, they're not built to the proper width, then it's a very large burden for either the homeowners or for ACHD. Does that make sense?
Not a lot.
Clear as mud, yeah.
Well, and I guess, okay, for my then a little further clarification, we are only asking they build up to the construction build side standard of the City of CUNA and ACHD, not uphold them to the standards of what ACHD, as is not required on a private road, correct? Not hold up to the standards above and beyond just the depth of the concrete and the width.
Just the minimum standards that everyone puts in. I mean, we can't require anything above and beyond.
I apologize. I just struggle hearing. We're going to uphold them to the standards, but if the minimum standards are only that of what you discussed in detail with the width of the road and stuff, not the standards you were talking about when it came to what they were going to require upon certain traffic density, but you're only talking about the build of the road, the width of the road.
The width of South Cabot Cliff Way, and also the construction standards. Really, what it comes down to is there's no secondary access, and ACHD wouldn't accept it based solely on that.
This might be, and I apologize, Mayor, if I can.
Yes, you go ahead.
And this might, please just feel free not to answer this because it's an assumption based, but it doesn't reach their standard because of the second outlet. But do you feel they have that standard because of safety? The amount of traffic flowing that way, all of a sudden ACHD won't accept it because there's not that second outlet, so we're just going to go ahead and make it private and do it anyway.
Your confirmations with emergency services, they were accepting of it.
Okay.
And then one other question. So the 5.1.4, 5.1.11, and 5.1.12 are in our staff report, but you said that's ACHD's staff report and not ours?
That's correct. What we do in the traffic, if you look at the staff report, that is part of the transportation and connectivity. It's section 5 of my staff report. Basically, I'm just taking ACHD's information and synthesizing it down and putting the main points of their report into our report.
And is ACHD okay with these changes?
I'm sorry?
Is ACHD okay with these changes that were suggested tonight?
These are just recommendations from ACHD. And if you notice, I believe Travis said that they really did want to confirm with ACHD on, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Travis, but especially like with the golf court one, they said they want to add the language, but it must be approved by ACHD. So since they are a signer of the final plat, they're going to have to, at some point, they're either going to have to accept their request or the applicant will have to conform to what ACHD wants.
Okay. Further questions for Troy?
Yes, mine is a smaller one. In an email to you, it says in here, it says, DEQ recommends verifying that there is adequate water to serve this project prior to approval. Please contact the water provider for a capacity statement, declining balance report, and willingness to serve this project. And I couldn't find anywhere where there was any follow-up to that. It was in the email July 30th from Falcon Crest Golf Course, State of Idaho, Environmental Quality.
Page? What page are you on?
476.
476.
So that's just...
I didn't see a response from you or the...
Yeah, staff doesn't provide a response to that. I mean, that's just a standard letter from Department of Environmental Quality.
So there's not a water issue?
No, there's not a water issue.
Oh, okay.
No, that's standard language for the Department of Environmental Quality that they put out for every subdivision. And it doesn't require a staff response.
Thank you.
Sure. They'll have to get a QLPE letter from Paul anyway, stating that we can service it or that it can be serviced in some form or fashion. So that won't go unanswered.
Okay, anything further for Troy? All right, this is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody sign up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter that didn't get a chance to sign up? Oh, okay. The first one you marked no testify, this one you didn't mark either. So, okay, that's fine, though. We don't care. We can do this. All right. Dave Reinhart, you may have the floor, sir.
Mayor Steer, members of council, I'll let our letter and education impacts study in your packet stand, but I did want to just draw attention to two things. The developer, Mark Tate, did ask us to consider, granted most of this development is age-restricted, this portion is not. He asked us to consider our formula for calculating the number of students we would end up serving. We did adjust that given the price point of the homes, as he suggested, and we reduced that by half, which we thought fair given our research and our consultation with planners, to 0.3 students per house. Our normal calculation is 0.65, which is an industry standard in our valley. So that being said, it is still, once built out, so once this and other subdivisions in the CUNA or in the Hubbard Elementary Zone, Fremont Middle School Zone, and CUNA High School Zone are built out, it is beyond our capacity to serve without asking voters for a bond requiring a supermajority. We, at this point, with the developer, and we've met with Mark a number of times, have not established a partnership to mitigate that impact in any way.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry, Dave. I don't want you to sit down. Dave? Apologies. I'm really sorry. This was just further clarification again for me, because I want to make sure I got this right. So you drop from the 0.6 to the 0.3 just based on various studies, but even dropping it to that 0.3, we still see this build-out go beyond what the district can support just at this given time.
With the other developments in the area.
With the other developments in Mixon.
Correct.
Okay.
Perfect. That have already been approved, right?
That have already been approved.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Was there anybody else who wished to testify who didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. And so the public hearing is still open, so you may feel free to ask questions of whomever you would like. Troy, did you memorialize the changes that they wanted to make to the staff report?
The ones that he mentioned with 5.14 and 5. Yeah. No, Mr. Mayor, I did not. We had that discussion this afternoon late. Okay. I had to have the staff report in last Thursday.
So those will have to be clarified for the record.
Correct.
Yeah.
I have them written down, and we also have the record to refer back to.
It's Troy, right? Troy?
Yes.
So there's an email on page 481 which discusses the dead-end roadway. And it says at the bottom, see PDF is attached. Is that in this file anywhere? If you scroll down to the bottom of the email. Page 484. It says it would require alternate access point into any development. And then you go down through the email, it says see PDF attached.
And it's on page 484?
That's where it says it starts at the top of the email, so it starts at 481. It's just discussion back and forth.
That's just the agency comment packet request for comment. That's what that is. That's what we send out for. Everything that I use to send to agencies and organizations for their official comments, all of that information is contained within this this packet for your consideration.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any more questions.
You bet.
Okay. Further questions?
Actually, I do have one more. I don't know who can answer it, though. What's the cost, the sales price of these houses? It says that they're higher end, or the, you know, we went from a 0.6 to a 0.3. What was the valuation that we decided to, Dave, would that be you? Do you know what the price point is on that house? No?
That would probably be an applicant question if there's a range that's known. Sorry, that's...
It's like when you want to eat lobster at the restaurant, it says see market value for the day. It won't give you a price. Yeah.
Good. I'm good.
Pondering something more?
He's in some serious pondering over here.
Oh, yeah. <it's, laughs> No, I don't have any more questions. I think we can go into a discussion at this point. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, if there are no further questions for staff or the presenter, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded to close the public hearing and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion or anybody need to ask questions of anybody else? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
I guess I'll start if that's okay with you guys.
Yes, you may.
You know, every time we get into these discussions of a furthering development, we talk about you know what this potentially does from all angles, traffic, still sewage, even though we're in plat stage, as well as we talk about the serviceability from a city standpoint or from a school standpoint. And we've been told, even cutting that population in half with the other developments we've already been a part of and had to approve, this is finally gonna just blow the top off the roof. We know they're stretched really thin right now at that school level. And that's concerning to me to see that we're finally at that point. And as stated in the packet, our comp plan does talk about more or less some nation supporting growth with what the schools can also support. School facilities will expand as needed to keep pace with CUNA's growing population. Is that a city function? No. Is that a school function? Yes. But as a city, it's still our job to be able to really make sure kids can attend school out here. So, you know, that's honestly what I wanted to comment on, because I think that conversation has occurred time and time again, but we've just been at that point. There's absolutely no guarantee that if the school had to go out for bond, it would pass. And then what? You know what I mean? And then what? Schools are over capacity. They have to follow capacity guidelines. And we may not even have any schools to support that.
Yeah, I think with needing a supermajority, you can't guarantee that there's going to be a bond that passes. If we do approve it, then we're just putting it on them to kind of handle it. It doesn't seem like it's not a good decision to do, at least from my standpoint.
I'll only speak for myself.
Question for Mark. Does the city have the ability to deny building permits based on the inability of a school to serve? A lot of the question here tonight is that we're talking about other developments in the area that have been approved that haven't been built yet, so we don't know the timeline of when the school capacity will be full. We just know that there's going to be more students. So the school district right now is working through a plan to a capital improvement plan, and will determine what they want to do with that going forward. So the question would be, if they did run a bond and the bond didn't pass, can the city stop building permits until the school is able to function again?
Mark Bybee, city attorney. So I kind of thought this was coming, and I'm sitting here actually kind of combing statute and trying to look, is there something that we could pin this to say, look, a school district can't serve, so we're going to deny? Because typically plat applications, which is all we have before us, is about technical compliance with code standards, which according to staff, we have that. And so when I look at this, I don't see that as a standard, a technical compliance standard that we can deny a plat for. They've complied with the city code, state code, and the development agreement for the conditions we put on. Could there have been something in the development agreement in the past? Maybe it could have been included, but it wasn't. So I'm looking to, especially when you look at it compared to others, then it just becomes a race for, you know, building first kind of thing, which between the developers about taking the school capacity first kind of thing. Let's get there first and take it first. I don't, without a little more research, think that's a reason to deny. If you want a more solid answer on that, I'm not going to have it for you tonight. I'd have to come back at a later meeting with additional information.
Okay.
I think that there's it's a broader opportunity than just looking simply at the one fixation of a school not being able to service it, but when we talk about the comprehension plan, Mark, and maybe this is for you, it does very specifically state, but it puts it in the school's hand. So again, that's nothing we can lean on for a denial if it's not following the comp plan. Then. Is that correct?
So a comprehensive plan, it's not statute, it's not ordinance, it's a guidance tool. And so it's, you know, it's not mandatory to be in compliance with it. It is important to look at, though. And so I'm going to default to Troy here. I think Troy is saying it's in compliance with the comp plan. If it's not, I think I'd go to Troy and see, can we point to where it's not and try and bring them into compliance with that comp plan, saying, look, this is a reason we're looking to deny. But the thing is that's not – not mandatory. You need to still point towards code requirements that say they would have to make those changes. Comp plan's really more important at the point of annexation. I think you're nodding before I say it.
Yeah.
So, because we get into technical compliance after annexation, and that's what plats are about.
Okay. I don't think we need to belabor the comp plan anymore then, if that's we're beyond that phase, but you know, if council would allow, I would really love Mark to be able to dive deeper into the opportunity of looking at the legalities or a statute that fits into the serviceability from the children's standpoint, from school standpoint, because the very worst thing as a city representative and as a parent, I have to sit up here and legally allow unlimited developments to go on, even if they're beyond legal capacity at the schools, and watch the youth of this community just plummet. So, if council would allow, I would hope that we can give Mark more time to look a little deeper into statute for that, because I just think it's incredibly important to know moving forward, if nothing else.
So you request or need to table a decision on this until Mark can...
Yeah, I would. Okay. I would like to kind of let Mark decide how much time he would need, if it would be next meeting would be appropriate, or if you would like to extend it to March.
I think next meeting would be more than enough time to come back with an answer. I have a feeling it's not very far away in research. It's just something I've not looked at closely before, so I just don't have an answer.
So probably the best thing would be if we can drill that down to that being the final question. So if we can finish with other discussion on this, if there is any.
No, I just agree with Warren. It's kind of, we've been elected to be good stewards for the city, and the fact that we can't, we're going to put the school in that position that, hey, it looks like they need $95 million is what they're saying, right? From the consulting company they used overall for the addition of all the other schools. And we're saying, hey, you're going to have to go back to the community to do that. We're putting that tax burden on them, even if it doesn't pass, or if it does pass, it's still on the community. I find it kind of frustrating as a city representative that we have no way to mitigate that.
Potentially.
Yeah.
No way, but...
That's all I have to say.
Well, I'll add, I guess, flip side of that is we knew what this development was going to bring when we approved it. Although you weren't on the board then, and I realize that. They have stuck with what they've, you know, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do the 55 and older first, and then we're going to do this phase, and, I mean, we're going to update this and that. And, I mean, if you drive by out there, there's a lot of people working. Yeah. All the time, and you know they're building, going to build a good product out there, at least it appears. I don't know if I, and I'm no expert, so this is just my opinion. I don't know if I agree with the 0.3 students for that. Most people don't do it backwards like me and have kids in their 40s. And I think people that are going to move into this are going to be ones that had kids earlier. Now their kids are gone, or they might have one high school student for a year or two, and then they're going to live in this lower maintenance area and enjoy golf and kind of slide into retirement. So I don't even know. I don't feel that there'll be that many students even in that, at least that area of the development. There is the bigger picture of the rest of it, but what's before us tonight is this one. I don't know. I mean, I don't have all the right answers or whatnot, but I guess looking at what they've done and what they said they're going to do on the first one and what they're currently building, you know, it's again a good product, and I think this one would be too, but I don't know. The school obviously is an issue because, like I said, I do have two little ones coming up through it now, so I don't want to kill it for them, but I think Warren maybe did the right thing in saying, hey, let's see what the legalities are and go from there.
So for future reference, should we look at when we annex it, and should we look at how many houses it would add? Is that what?
That would be a plat discussion. That's not an annexation discussion. So,
he's saying once it's annexed, we're just checking boxes, right?
Yeah. So when it comes down to approving a plat, yeah, it's like you have your city code, or you might have a development agreement that requires X, Y, and Z. You know, simplify it, and as long as they hit X, Y, and Z, they've technically complied. You know, and that's why annexation is a significant decision, because once they're through that door and they comply with those things, which can be very costly for them, but as long as they comply with them, they can get approval.
So should we be looking at this process before that? How do we, if we can't see the stuff before we annex it, and we can't stop it once we've annexed it, where's the
where they zone it is where you would get that estimate. So in R6, there can't be more than 6 houses per acre.
Oh, okay.
R12, no more than 12 per acre.
I was misunderstanding the question. You're talking about density.
Density.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, we're making a decision on houses, how many kids it would add. So we can just count the houses before.
It's not counting houses. It's just
what you can put in.
At annexation, you assign a zoning designation that affects how many, and I guess ultimately how many houses can go on the property. But that, not precisely that. It's just limiting them to certain lot sizes, and that affects how many houses can be there.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think, President McPherson, to your point, there's nothing negative to say about the way this development looks or is being developed. This strictly really just has to look at the impact it has. And to your point, we knew what we were getting into when we annexed and platted this a year and a half ago. But that goes to my point with seeing things evolve over the time period from the annexation to a development. You just have to look at the picture today as opposed to what it was a year and a half ago. So that's really the reasoning for that. But I think
I'm okay to table it.
Well, my preference would be if we're going to make a decision at this point tonight, I'd rather table it because we don't know the legality to denying because of school. The legislature has made it to where the schools cannot collect impact fees, and yet we're talking about impact on schools.
Right.
And charging a fee for that. So whether you're going to call it an impact fee or not, that's what it leads to. And so we have to be very careful about making a decision based on that. I know they're calling it something else, but in the end.
Right.
And we're still going to continue to push with the legislature to get impact fees for schools. But And even that said, if they do make an agreement with the schools are going to get some money out of that, but it's not going to be enough that they're not still going to have to bond. Because $5 million isn't going to build a grade school, a middle school, and a high school. I mean, it's just not.
Right.
So we're still looking at that piece also. So I think finding out the legality to that is paramount before we make a decision based on where the discussion went tonight. So I would recommend that we table.
Absolutely.
So next meeting should be fine for that information to come back then?
Yes. I mean, this has rolled around before. I've just never gotten to an answer, so I don't think it's going to be hard to get to an answer. We need to definitely continue this to a date certain, not just table it, and just in case. That way it gives us the opportunity to have an open public hearing again, as long as it's continuing to a date certain, so without having to do re-noticing.
So, February 15th?
Thank you, Mr.
No.
2021?
Yeah. So I'll make a motion that we table it to February 15th, and we wait for an answer on the legality of denying the development. Howard, I have.
Go ahead, Mike. I'd suggest you modify that to continue to the date certain as opposed to tabling. So continue to a date certain of.
Yes, correct. Thank you.
Continuing to a date of February 15th. 2022.
I'll second that.
Motion is made and seconded to continue to the February 15th meeting to wait for an answer on legalities to making a decision based on school. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. All right. Consideration to approve case number 2107LS, lot split for 3003 North 10 Mile Road. David Crawford, did do you want to? Jessica Reed.
Hello. Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. For the record, Jessica Reed, Planning Services Specialist, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. On behalf of Bodall Farms, David Crawford requests approval to split an approximately 38.98-acre parcel with the C1 Neighborhood Commercial Zone, which is located at 3003 North 10 Mile Road, into two parcels. Parcel A is proposed to be 24.82 acres, and Parcel B is proposed to be 14.58 acres. This lot split is to better fulfill the owner's vision for future development. The original parcel was annexed into CUNA city limits in July of 2019 and has historically been used for agricultural purposes. Upon review, staff has determined this lot split request is consistent with CUNA city code and recommends that if council approves case number 21-07-LS, the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in section 7 of the staff report. And with that, I will stand for any questions.
Are you really going to stand, or are you just going to sit?
Or
thank
say.
You. Thank you. Questions for Jessica?
I have one, and if we need to wait for the developer to talk, that's fine,
ahead.
Jessica. But
sure.
What would the purpose to split a lot that's already designated as a C1 zone into two lots, C1 zone, if that doesn't change the standard of a C1 zone?
A lot of the time, a developer will present that option in order to develop certain parts at different times. We have seen this with other developments along Meridian Road specifically, where they might have a ready project that will fill part of that area, but not the entire thing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One question. Clarifications. C1. Is that storefront or is that residential?
C1, neighborhood commercial, that's more where you would see services provided for your residences, for your residential area. So you're looking at dog groomers.
Storefront.
Yeah, exactly. Rentable, ownable.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, Mr. Crawford, you may have.
Mayors. City Council, my name is David Crawford. I'm with Centurion Engineers, formerly known as B&A Engineers. We changed our name in honor of our 100-year anniversary of continuous operations in the Treasure Valley area. That was
you don't even
long-winded.
Look that old.
I'm getting there. Some days I feel older than others, that's for sure. So we appreciate the council's consideration tonight for our one-time land division. We did read the staff report. We are in agreement with the conditions of approval, and we respectfully request your approval tonight. Jessica did a great job going through the project. It's two large lots out of 40. It was an original parcel of ground, other than there was some right-of-way that was dedicated to the highway district on 10 Mile Road, which just shrank it a bit from 40 to 39. So that's how we ended up with that smallest, with a wider 10 Mile Road. One of the things I want to talk about tonight is, it was a great question, you know, why would you just cut off a piece of ground? If a 40-acre chunk of ground is a hard one to bite off and develop for anybody all in one fell swoop, particularly with commercial retail store frontage. We've seen the improvements that are on Meridian Road, and as I've heard throughout my many years in this arena, you know, commercial stuff always follows residential rooftops, and that's what we're seeing. We see all the development out of Meridian Road. This area was zoned commercial. It's consistent with the comprehensive plan, and we have some interest in that. So that leads us here tonight. Many business development outfits have a very specific requirement of land mass or certain things they want to do, so they don't want to take down an entire 40 acres. It becomes worthless for them, so they want their, you know, the portion that they need for their development. There is some interested parties in that, in this particular piece of ground, and so that's why we're here. To get this area, get this land split so that they can recognize the investment that they're going to be coming in with. We know that there's a lot of development controls, particularly with commercial developments. As you develop, you go through design review. If you've got multiple lots involved, you have the subdivision process. Of course, that brings into the review process at that time, you know, serviceability for water, sewer, pressurized irrigation, all those things. Because we're not, so that this one-time split would basically allow us to, you know, get that land and sold to another development arm that would then invest those funds into the entire study process and development process that the city of CUNA controls through its different development processes, whatever that would entail. One of the things that, you know, this area is probably underutilized for commercial development. It's several miles away from the Meridian Corridor. It's several miles away from the downtown city business district. So, you know, we've got the rooftops here now. Now we're seeing that this area is probably a little better, a little more inviting for more retail area, which the comprehensive plan is definitely in favor of and has noted. So with that, I'd just like to stand for any questions you might have.
Okay, questions?
No. No, sir.
I have just one. Mm-hmm. Did you bring Tim with you tonight? We haven't seen him in ages. Like at least a year. Not good to see.
That's all.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Well, it seems like a pretty reasonable request and an easy thing to do. So.
Yep. Not seeing any negative effects from the staff report and such, I would move we approve case number 21-07-LS.
Second that.
Motion is made and seconded to approve case number 21-07-LS. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve 21-08-LS. Lot split for 525 West Main Street. Jessica.
Hello again, Mayor and Council. For the record, Jessica Reed, Planning Services Specialist, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. BTC Properties requests approval to split an approximately 0.22-acre parcel into approximately a 0.108-acre or a 4,734-square-foot north parcel, and an approximately 4,434-square-foot south parcel. Excuse me, lots of floors there. This lot split is to facilitate each individual building being on its own lot and allows the potential for the state of Idaho to purchase the office they currently occupy directly south of the behind-the-chair salon, which is right there on the corner of Main and Avenue D. There are no requested changes to the current Central Business District classification. And upon review, staff has determined this lot split request is consistent with CUNA City Code and recommends that if council approves the case, the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 7 of your report. And with that, I will sit for any questions. Thank you.
Okay, questions for Jessica? And obviously, this is a single owner at this point.
Correct.
And I guess the question is the nobody has any problem with the parking. It looks like they're going to have maybe four spots available to the first building and all the rest of the spots for the next building. So
yes,
I guess they'll be able to work that out, and that's not a problem between...
Correct. There is parking directly off of Avenue D for the salon, and then there's actually a small parking area behind the office directly to the south.
Good. Okay.
Okay, then.
And again, this seems like a pretty reasonable deal to split it and make it where they can utilize both properties.
Correct. Yes. I would move we then approve case number 21-08-LS.
Second that.
Motion is made and seconded to approve case number 21-08-LS. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. I am going to switch around the next two. We're going to do item D before C because they should be turned around anyway. So consideration to approve resolution R05-2022, Morgan Treasurer.
That button didn't want to push. So in the order of those, I think Chris is preparing. I wanted to go ahead and invite JUB to present the feasibility study, and then we'll talk about the resolution following their presentation. We'll hand it over to Lisa Bachman. Are the slides in there? That's a study. Yeah, we don't want the long way.
Yeah, we do.
Just page make it up page. As you go.
There we go.
Winner.
And that is why we keep Chris around.
Thank you,
Chris. Yes, Lisa, you may have the floor, or the podium, or the stage, or whatever you want.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Lisa Bachman with JUB Engineers. Address for the record is 2760 West Excursion Lane, Suite 400 in Meridian, 83642. I also want to point out that we have Elam and Burke here. They're the legal team for the Urban Renewal District in case we have any legal questions. And I just wanted to start off by saying that I'm really honored to continue to be a part of this. And I know we started it, you know, a while back, and now we're kind of continuing forward, and so I'm honored to continue to be a part of this process. So just to give you a quick refresh on what we're doing here and the steps to create a district, the first step is to prepare an eligibility study, and that's what we're looking at tonight, to determine if the area meets the requirements as defined in Idaho Code. And then the next step is to get the Urban Renewal Agency recommendation approval, which occurred on January 5th of 2022, which lands us here as step two tonight for a resolution to prepare the Urban Renewal Plan, which would be the following step after approving the eligibility study. Just to give you a little more history and background information, this East District is located in the Cunamora coal area. It's approximately 1,528 acres. It was annexed into the city limits into two large annexations in February and October of 2021 last year. It is identified as industrial use on the future land use map starting back in 2015. The site offers good access for trucking, rail, electric, and telecom utilities, but has some challenges with water, sewer, and roadways. And I'm not sure if Councilman Bruce was part of this, but the city recently approved development agreements that provided a catalyst for water and sewer service in the area, and is very aware of the proposed project for this area. I don't even know what the project is, so if you were to ask me, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I just know it's...
A good one, potentially. We can't know at this point.
We can't
put
know.
It that way.
Yeah. So some example projects and uses of a East Urban Renewal District. It would allow for pre-engineering of the needed improvements in roadways, other improvements in the public right-of-way to get shovel-ready. So basically the public infrastructure to serve the site and the industrial uses. This would facilitate reimbursement agreements to expand the water and sewer infrastructure. So just kind of getting straight to the point here. The summary of the eligibility report, it meets Idaho code and the definition of a deteriorating area in many ways. The fact that there's missing infrastructure out there, or lack of infrastructure to serve the proposed use. That combined with the evaluation of the CUNA West District in downtown, we have to make sure that we're not exceeding the 10% of the taxable value with both districts added together. So that was part of the analysis of the eligibility study. So it's eligible. Just to kind of summarize and confirm the process, hopefully we get approval for the eligibility report tonight. And then that will facilitate being able to develop the draft urban renewal plan. And that actually includes a lot of public outreach, involvement with the Planning and Zoning Commission, the City Council. So the infrastructure identified in the plan and how those improvements could be funded and that type of thing would be detailed in that urban renewal plan that would come back before you. So we would have these work sessions in the summer, and later on July, August, we would go before the decision-making bodies. They would look at it to make sure that it's in compliance with the comprehensive plan, the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then ultimately there would be a public hearing with the City Council, hopefully later this fall. I shouldn't have said the word hopefully. We are targeting later this fall to go ahead and get that before you again. And so with that, I will stand for any questions.
Okay, questions for Lisa?
What's being built up?
Things and stuff.
Thank you, Lisa. Happy that you are still on board with this. This has been a long process and something very beneficial for the city to help us to grow in a good direction. So we're happy to have you here. You always do a good job. So
thank you. It's like I said, we're really honored, including our legal team, to continue.
Yes, thank you. All right, so the request is to approve the resolution R05-2022. If you have any further questions, or
I do not. What did you say? No,
I did not. Good. No.
I do sit on that board too, so should I abstain from that, or are we good? The Urban Renewal District
Board. Urban Renewal District Board.
To be safe, yes.
Okay. Then that was so abstain.
We're going to ask you all the questions.
All right, just go to Greg. I move then we approve resolution R05-2022.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution R05-2022. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And one abstention from Councilmember McPherson. And that motion carries. Consideration to approve request for $64,300 from the contingency for planning consultant services for the proposed urban renewal district in East CUNA. Morgan.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. For the record, Morgan Treasure, Economic Development Director for the City of CUNA.
As you all know, I was not here at the time that the budget was set, but when I came on, it quickly became apparent that picking this project back up was something that needed to happen. So those planning services were not included in the economic development budget, so I brought this request before you tonight just for the funding to move forward with that planning process. It covers the funding we would use for JUB to go through that plan, as well as some economic analysis that we have to have, and those scope of works were included in your packet. So I am happy to answer any questions you have about that, or we can just tie that up, just knowing that it wasn't in the budget, and that's why it's a contingency.
Okay, question?
No, sir. I got one question. So what you're asking for on the $64,000, does this cover the rest of the process and the steps that Lisa just went through step five, phase five, be done with it?
That does. It includes the contracted services that we would need for JUB and for the economic analysis that they sub out for that. The intention is to go ahead and keep the legal involved in the there will be additional legal expenses, but those will stay within the URA's budget, so.
Thank you. Okay. Anything further?
Again, I should probably go out again.
Going out. All right.
For another deal, so.
Well, if there's nothing then. You know, I move that we approve the request of $64,300 from contingency for the planning consultant services.
Second.
Okay, motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries with one abstention from Mayor, Councilmember McPherson. Mayor McPherson.
Whoa. Mike Jerton over there.
Yeah, I about gave you that.
See. I don't need any more positions, please.
All right. Consideration to approve ordinance 2022-04. Chris Ingalls.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Before you is ordinance 2022-04. The primary purpose of this was to clarify that on the special event plans to deal with lost children and also the public safety plan, and that these events are not solely relying on city-maintained emergency services. To simplify just a little bit, instead of these large events expecting for overtime pay and overtime time from police officers, that they would hire their own private security with a plan reviewed by the chief of police in order to determine that that met the needs. And then the police, on the other hand, would be aware of the events and then continue to work coordinated with them as far as safety. I think maybe even to simplify a little bit further, so you take a large event, maybe just an argument, but there's really no fight. They're managing the alcohol, but maybe somebody wants to argue about whether they've overdrank or not, or a band, or, you know, are they aged or not. Those more simple things. But when they become more complex or violent, then that would be when Community Police Services would call them. That's the gist of the purpose of it. And then also, if they don't comply with the plan or are not willing to make a plan, then I can deny, the city clerk can deny the special event plan. And then it also, we took the opportunity to update the application itself so that we're better communicating with all the departments that are affected. And then lastly, it defines in there that the chief of police can waive the necessity for a safety plan based on alcohol consumption, number of people attending. For example, smaller events, good one is church in the park. And sometimes might get a couple hundred people, but there's no alcohol.
It's just a potluck, and there wouldn't be a need for private security for that size event or that type of thing happening. So that's kind of the rundown of it, and I stand for any questions, and if you have specific questions, the chief will answer them.
Okay, questions for Chris?
I got a question if I could.
Yes.
So good. We talk about the large events, you know, the parades and stuff like that. I could be off assumption in that, chief, you guys are responsible for kind of traffic mitigation and support and shutting the roads and just that type of thing. But then reading this, it means you guys are going to get away from that.
Mayor, council members, Mike Fertusco, chief of police for the city of Cuna, 1450 West Boise Street. Councilman, we do assist with the traffic control, but it's ACHD. They run through the permits through the city. And we'll, for instance, Cuna Days, they actually, the Chamber of Commerce brought on their own traffic control this last summer, where they controlled egress areas, place or access areas on the roadways. They took care of all traffic control, and we took care of all law enforcement business inside the CUNA Days itself. So we don't handle the traffic plan at all. That goes through ACHD and the city. I do look at it, but I don't control it.
Councilmember Christensen, and to clarify, as far as the city's participation in that, we just don't issue the event plan unless ACHD is going to issue the permit for parades or road closures or something like that. They control that 100%.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Anything further?
And I guess this means you're not breaking people out of the porta potties anymore then, chief. Is that right?
Just for clarification, Councilman, we will still be there to assist. Just to explain why we're doing this, we do bring a lot of deputies on board for events, especially CUNA Days. There is a large overtime accrual, and this will assist us in if we bring security on, they can take care of all the lower level security functions of the event itself as the city clerk explained. We will still, if you will, sprinkle it with deputies, and we just won't have a large contingent of deputies like we have in the past.
Perfect. And for the record, I witnessed Chief do that last CUNA Days, and so I had to ask.
Yes, I've never seen that happen before. That was odd.
Is there any reason to not fast track this?
I don't see any reason not to.
I mean, I can't imagine somebody coming in and protesting this. So.
No, and there was a lot of time and effort. We've had back and forth discussions vetting this and what needed to happen. So I think we're pretty locked in on what
we don't need to see it anymore. Is what you're saying? Okay, then I would move we approve ordinance 2022-04.
I'll second.
Motion is made and, we need to waive the three.
That's right. My bad. I'd move we waive three readings of ordinance 2022-04 after I just asked about it.
I'll second that.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2022-04. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Now I'd move we approve ordinance 2022-04.
Motion is made and seconded to approve ordinance 2022-04. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
I'd move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2022-04.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve summary ordinance publication. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that Motion carries. Summary ordinance publication. That's the first time I've seen it written like that, but I read it just like that. That is all we had on the agenda for tonight. I want to thank council for good discussion, good debate tonight. I think it's good that we can agree and disagree and come to a conclusion in the end of things. I think you did a really outstanding job tonight, so I appreciate that very much.
I want to say thank you to Mark. I was adding, count the houses. I was looking at kids per house, not density. Yeah, that's what I had in my notes. So thank you for entertaining the comments.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you got big shoes to fill when it comes to...
Okay, that's all I have. Anybody else have anything they wanted to mention?
Apparently Chris does.
Chris?
I had sent an email to all council about the joint meeting for the school board. I got two responses, not from you guys down there at the end.
I responded right here.
Okay. So if you could take a minute to let me know.
Okay, hold please.
Okay, we're tentatively targeting it the 10th. The 10th at 6 p.m.
March 10th, yeah.
Are you sure? April 10th, 2023?
2023, December. Yeah, next year. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Responded.
You can have mine.
Again.
Formally. All right, that's all we have. Thank you. This has been a really longer meeting than we're used to.
Yeah.
Still better than most cities have. So,
yeah.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Is this someone's pen that I stole? I just discovered I had two pens.